I think at this stage, you start thinking less radically in terms of big bets and just revamping everything, but you start being very intentional about what actually can move the needle, and you start searching for that very, very tactical sometimes thing, but can the thing that can actually move this needle.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Product Adoption Academy show by Accuse. This is your host, Ramley John. I'm super excited to have Kate here. She is a growth advisor as well as a former head of growth design at Miro. And you heard it here first. She's the founder of GrowthMates. Kate, how's it going? How are you?
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Ramley, for having me on this podcast. I'm very honored to be here, and hopefully I will share something valuable and interesting about the user onboarding and other topics that we are planning to discuss today.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you wrote and you contributed to Kyle Poirier's newsletter, Growth Unhinged, about the evolution of Miro's onboarding. And that's really, really fascinating how you joined back in 2017, where you were essentially the first product designer there of the growth team. And you've seen it evolve over how many decades or how many years? It feels like it's probably
six
decades
years,
in startup
almost
years.
Almost a decade, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in startup years, that's six decades. But I'm curious what it looked like in the beginning, like when you joined. Was it a mess? Was it like, what did you come in with, like at least a little bit of working onboarding for people who are not familiar? We use Miro at AppKeys as well. So it's a collaborative tool for brainstorming and other things like that. But what did it look like when you joined Miro?
Absolutely. I think, you know, there was nothing, to be honest. There was no user onboarding. So there was something like very, very early first version of the sign up flow. But when I joined more than six years ago, at Miro, we started forming this first growth team. It was real-time board, by the way, the name of the company. And the user onboarding didn't exist. So the first set of experiments was just about building this foundation, building the sign up flow, building the first session, how it looks like. And I think also in the beginning, we were very iterative and innovative at the same time. We didn't know the best practices, so we just tried to learn by doing. And one of the first experiments that I was also explaining in this article was this interesting combination of, you know, product visuals and questions at the same time, and also this focus on goal-oriented approach when users can actually say why they joined, why they are like interested in using Miro. And if they select certain templates, it will be visible on the side. So from the design perspective, I was absolutely excited to bring something like that to our customers. And I've also seen positive feedback on Twitter or like something like that. But eventually it turned out that this solution wasn't successful in terms of metrics because after launching that, we saw like some drops, and then we analyzed why it's happening with user interviews, and uncovered that users are distracted by these visuals. They start interacting with them, especially if they look like the product itself. So that was my first learning probably about this onboarding flows, that we should be very careful if we bring something visual there and not overusing that, not using a lot of animations and things like that. And what I've seen across the board now, that if your product has the very clean sign up flow, and we are just talking about the sign up flow for this profiling information that you are gathering, just showing the sense of progress, but making it super clean, centered, you know, nothing else, that performs way better.
That's really fascinating there. Yeah. And for people who are tuning in via YouTube, I can show it on the screen here what it looked like. Actually, that's interesting here that when you shared this, people were loving this. Like, there's this tweet here that says, "Love this onboarding flow." There's like GIFs, there's options. What do you want to start Miro with, Kanban? And what's fascinating is you said people love it because it's visual, but it didn't perform as expected because they were distracted by that GIF or GIF on the right side. Is that exactly what I heard you say here?
Absolutely. Yes. But, you know, it doesn't mean that we should just remove these visuals completely and, you know, make it clean and white. Of course, it can work, but I would say it's more important to iterate and to test multiple versions. And in the end, if you probably test the current flow on Mira onboarding, these visuals turn back, actually, but in a different way. In a different way that presents the value, that doesn't make this confusion, that it looks like a real product. It shouldn't look like in something interactive, not to disrupt users, you know, not to shift their attention to these details that are not necessary at this moment. But the idea of showing the value in some form is a very good one, because the idea of the onboarding flow and the first setup moment is to help users get prepared for experiencing the core value of the product. And if we are not showing the product, if we are not showing the core value of it at all to the user, then it will be very difficult to guide them to experience that. So there should be the balance. And I think the way to find it is to constantly iterate on your on your flows.
I like that. I just want to repeat that for people who glazed over. You're really talking about, like, if you can remove as much distraction, and like you're talking about the sign-up flow, make it centered, make it clean, make it easy for people to fill out this stuff, you know, rather than, oh, it's like, look at that. You know, I feel like the attention span of folks, especially nowadays, has lessened than what it was 20 years ago. You know, this TikTok, there's like fast food, like people want it fast now. And I think any kind of distraction you add can take away from the experience rather than add from it. So what I'm hearing there. I want to move on to talk. So that was the beginning. I love how you broke down this arc. I'm going to share this in the show notes, but like the next phase is the hyper growth phase. I'm curious what was the next evolution iteration of the, you're talking about like always iterate about around the experience, which I love, which is, it's not a one and done thing, but what did it look like when in that hyper growth phase, that experience, what was the next iteration around it?
Absolutely. So I think, first of all, user onboarding and activation is a continuous work for any product, regardless of their stages. And it should be your continuous like priority to work on that, to revisit it consistently. When I'm sharing this chapter on the article about the hyper growth moment, it happened when COVID happened and when a lot of non-tech savvy customers and users started using Mira. And, you know, the product and the first experience should help them get the first value of the product with like their experience. They haven't used these visual tools for collaboration before. They don't even understand what it means, you know? And the onboarding is extremely important for that. And when I say onboarding, it's not just about the sign up flow and these slides that we've just shared. It's also the first experience inside the product. It's several sessions inside the product. It's the moment before, it's all the flow, the whole flow inside the product before user experience the aha and habit moments. And it's also the everything what is happening outside the product, like life cycle communication. So all of that had to be revisited, you know?
Wow.
And I think the main factor that we tried to keep in mind that time was how to help non-tech savvy users in a very easy and understandable way experience this first value. And I think one of the interesting solutions that appeared that time was this collaborative robot collaboration, you know, I think it was also in the article that represents this idea of human touch, you know, right. There is like self-service onboarding, but there is always a human touch onboarding where a personal, like, you know, customer success manager introduces you to the product through the demo. So that time the team decided to combine these two approaches and bring something like a human to the product. And it was quite innovative as well and interesting. And the qualitative feedback from that was also very positive. However, that time there was no such a thing like AI or how to apply it on a video content. So yeah, there was no easy way to scale that approach. And eventually, you know, that experiment became not super scalable, but I still believe today, especially with the power of AI, we should continue experimenting with that direction. Yeah.
First of all, I love how, you know, adding on the human touch is important, especially people don't realize how certain types of users want that. But like, let's talk about that AI, because in the article, you once again, I'm going to share my screen for people on YouTube. But there, you guys experimented with Synthesia with this AI generated video, which is like, what the heck? This is 2020, like the pre ChatGPT. Yeah. So you were. Your team was like on the cutting edge. What did you find around this? Like it didn't, you said it wasn't scalable, but like, was it too expensive? Was it too memory?
Yeah.
You know, what was it that made it not? Because I think it's cool. You're adding a human touch and it makes the experience more human than, you know, feeling like
absolutely
it's not there.
Yeah, I think that time Synthesia was used for the user testing. So basically, before we build this solution, you have to test it, you have to validate it. And in order to speed up the process, the team uncovered Synthesia as a product and just used that to create the prototype. And that was fantastic. That was very useful to test the hypothesis before investing time into development. However, when it comes to the end result, I would say that even today, looking at the quality of the videos, sometimes it's not the level of quality that you really want to introduce to your end customers, especially for such a user-centric and quality-oriented product like Mira. This is why that time it wasn't scalable, of course. That time every video was like recorded manually. And today, I would say we are still on the way to get to this point of quality that will be super scalable. But it's way better than how much, like 3 years ago.
This is that just like you guys were doing AI before it was cool to do AI, which is pretty awesome. I think the interesting challenge, and I kind of want to go back, kind of got distracted with AI there. But like the interesting thing you mentioned is that when this influx of new users came in that are not, you mentioned tech savvy, they probably have different use cases. Were you still using the same option before where like, what are you signing up Miro for? And then you give them options and then I guess self-select and direct them to the right human or customer success team or with that rather than just letting them through sign up right away mm-hmm. without asking them what they want to achieve.
So I think your question is also about the profiling information that, you know, the product should gather when like something is changing on the market. And I don't remember what was happening on the Mira side that time, but I would refer to my recent insights actually that I uncovered from the industry. We can also share the links, but the profiling information is not static. First of all, you should start asking it in the very early stage of your product to be able to personalize your experience later on, to be able to uncover PQAs and all of that. And I think the insight was that you shouldn't be afraid of adding extra question to your sign up flow. It will not drop extremely your conversion to the sign up, and it can drop it about 10%, let's say, based on Elena Verna reference. But even if it drops, these people will not, like, there is no negative effect on the activation funnel. And sometimes by introducing more questions to this sign up profiling information, the activation can actually increase because you are personalizing the experience in the end, or the users are becoming more intentional why they are filling in this information. So there should be the balance. There should be good UX patterns when you are adding, let's say, 5 or 6 profiling questions, that there should be progressive disclosure and things like that. But we shouldn't be afraid of that. And this profiling information can change over time. It will be a little bit difficult to change, let's say, such information as set of roles or set of use cases, but it can change because the ICP of the product evolves over time, especially the market is very like fast moving and changing these days. So overall, it can change and it's absolutely fine, but gathering this profiling information is extremely important. And I recommend every product to do that.
I love it. It's totally true. You know, profiling them and like personalizing that experience, ensuring like the right templates reduces, you know, the time it takes for them to actually get into the product and start playing around with it. I want to move on to the last phase. What is that called? The growth. This is now growth at scale. Oh man, I love that. Now you have in the article you said you have 50 million users about, and it's in that article. But what was the next iteration? You talked about the first of all starting with, you know, personalization, asking them upfront, removing the distraction. The next phase was around adding that human touch. And then what did it look like in this phase when there's a lot of millions of users coming in?
Absolutely. I think at this stage, you start thinking less, you know, radically in terms of big bets and just revamping everything, but you start being very intentional about what actually can move the needle. And you start searching for that, let's say, very, very tactical sometimes thing, but can the thing that can actually move this needle. And the focus that time was on how moment. And, you know, starting decomposing this metric as much as you can, the actual aha moment for different segments, for joiners, for creators, and iterating a lot of small things that can actually move the needle, at least in some direction, became this focus for growth at scale. Because, you know, the cost of the big bets becomes extremely high. And if you just continue doing them, and learning curve is very long as well, you know, it's very hard to move the needle. So this is why this continuous iteration became the core approach. And I've shared a couple of examples of some things that team introduced that actually helped to start moving this needle. It was very like tactical and very small experiment, actually. It was something like say hi, that when somebody is joining the board, they can say hi and another person can see this reaction. So understanding what are the features, what are the small features or simple and delightful experiences that you should introduce to your users early on, and do it in a very simple manner to test and validate if it really helps to move some metric in some direction, is the way to go, rather than trying to, you know, step back and redesign everything from scratch, because for such a big company and such a big product, it will be very expensive. And yeah, so that was also the learning, that don't underestimate quick wins. Don't underestimate these small improvements. They can actually have an impact. And sometimes big bets are overestimated and they sometimes don't have such an impact. Yeah. And it inspired me also to do this, you know, helicopter view on the onboarding topic after I left Mira. And one of the first personal, you know, investments and projects I did was this onboarding research, where I just looked at more than 80 companies and did this survey where they gathered a lot of insights from them. Just to, you know, share with the community what are other tactics and learnings that can help them create a better onboarding experience.
That's pretty cool. And people can see this at onboard.report here on the screen. You can get the full report here. Thank you for mentioning AppUse. I think that's super cool. When we saw that, actually, our team was like, somebody needs to reach out to Kate. And then it was like, Rambly, you seem to know some folks, so go reach out to her. But one thing that what I thought was really cool you mentioned there is around like this experiment with the joiners saying hi to this board. So when people join, and this is another image that I'm showing for people who are watching this on YouTube, but for people listening to it by audio, there's a board. This is you know, people ask them to say hi. There's people on the board. It says, "Welcome, David. Wave hello." Like, that's such a great way to get people into the product. To, you mentioned the word delight, like get them in right away to like really plugged in and start using the product as quickly as possible without having to pick a, you know, did they have to pick a template? I'm guessing they got dropped in here and just said, hey, drop and say hi. So what happened?
Yeah. So basically, yeah, that is very simple experience. You just open the board and then you see this thing and you did the reaction, and you're also introduced to this feature of reactions, because, you know, it's important for any activation funnels to introduce users to the most important and, you know, interesting and delightful features in your product, not to everything. Otherwise, they will be overwhelmed. It's one of the insights we also learned from the report, gathered in the report, that yeah, users are overwhelmed if you just, you know, bombard them with notifications like, here is the dashboard. Here is the way to create your content and things like that. So we should be very, very thoughtful about the things we are introducing in the first session, in the second session, and moving on.
As a broker, once again, people can get that at onboard.report. I'm going to add that in the link. But I really do appreciate you sharing this evolution of Miro's onboarding here. I'm curious now, you've shared a lot of tips, a lot of information around here. Any final advice before we wrap up for people who are tuning in? I know you shared a bunch, for people, they should be writing down these notes. There's a lot of things, but I'm going to link that article as well, which is loaded with tips that you have. But if you can give like one or two final advice to people who are looking to improve the onboarding, what would that be?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think if I would have a chance to talk about that for another hour, I would just, try to summarize all these 25 pages of the onboarding report that we gathered.
Not fair.
But I will try to summarize in some like 1-3 steps. So first advice, I think, is to please everyone review your onboarding experience regularly. Like at least once in a quarter, sit down with your friend, product manager, product designer, your team, and just review the end-to-end onboarding flow. Uncover bugs, uncover UX improvements, uncover big bets, everything you can, and start building this continuous like backlog. And every quarter, there should be a set of experiments, something that you're doing on that flow, because the reason for that is very simple. If your activation is increasing, there is a chance that your monetization will increase as well. And activated users have 3 to 10 times bigger conversion to paid plans. So this is all about our business. Second thing I would recommend is to think about profiling information that you are gathering. Think how you are using this information. Maybe there are questions that you are not using at all, and you could replace them with something else that can help you define your ICP or that can help you personalize this experience. So it's something like you can instantly do and just try it out. And the third thing for more like teams who already have some foundation for the user onboarding, who have already some flow in place and they already start moving in that direction, I would recommend to think about the activation metric and start thinking about the definition of activation earlier than later. Yeah. And it's very difficult metric to define. I worked with like companies and it sometimes takes like half of the year just to define the metric, just to understand that it's more or less, valid, and it makes sense to have such a metric, but you will refine it, you will change it over time. But starting thinking at least in that direction is already a good way. Otherwise, if you just continue to iterate on the onboarding flow without having the activation definition in place, it will be difficult to understand what is working, what is not working, what is the core value of the product and what we are optimizing for. And again, if you define this activation metric, make sure to revisit it again over time. After a year, after a couple of years, you can revisit and understand if it still makes sense. And I hope that, you can find some recommendations in this report and in the future courses, materials, everything that I'm planning to do on this topic.
Let's talk about that now. What's next? Where can people find out more about you? Where any links you want them to share? Obviously I'm gonna link your LinkedIn. You've been sharing some great content there, as well as the onboard report, that Grow the Ninja article. Anywhere else people should follow or check out that you've created or about to create?
Absolutely. Oh, so many links. I need to centralize it somehow, right? I think LinkedIn is the best way to reach out to me and to find everything in one place. Beyond LinkedIn, I'm also a creator and the founder of Growth Mates podcast. And it's the mission behind that is to create this sort of shortcut to content, to connect actually with inspiring leaders from growth, from product, from design disciplines that can help you grow yourself and your product. And we've had episodes with fantastic leaders from like various companies, Dropbox, Amplitude, Pinterest, Canva, recent one. And there will be more episodes also about the user onboarding in particular. that I'm also excited about. There will be Matt from Canva talking just about activation at, sorry, not at Canva, Matt from Coda talking just about nice. Activation at Coda. There will be other folks. So I hope it will be useful for your audience as well. And last thing about the onboarding topic in particular, I'm planning also to do the course dedicated nice. To that deep dive into actual onboarding flow, revisiting and, you know, giving direct guidance to all people who want to do that. I also do it as a growth advisor and support companies who need very, very deep focus on that and deep attention from my side. So yeah, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn and follow me there. Yeah, I'm sharing all the updates there.
Awesome. Kate, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.